Hello, my name is Tammy Bauman. I'm a Quality Improvement Advisor with Great Plains Quality Innovation Network, and we're here today to talk about antibiotic resistance and what resources exist in our state to detect, contain, and most importantly, prevent antibiotic resistance. Today we have two guest speakers, and I'm going to, before I ask my questions, I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maureen Tierney, and I'm the Director of the Healthcare Associated Infections and Antimicrobial Resistance Program for the state of Nebraska.
Hi, I'm Dr. Muhammad Salman Ashraf. I am an Associate Professor at University of Nebraska Medical Center, and I'm also Co-Medical Director of Nebraska Antimicrobial Stewardship Assessment and Promotion Program on Nebraska ASAP.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Can you give us an overview of the Antimicrobial Resistance Program in Nebraska?
The Nebraska DHHS has a team, the HAI-AR team that I discussed, that works with the Nebraska Public Health Laboratory, or NPHL, to perform surveillance for highly resistant bacteria in order to detect resistant organisms. Then there's an investigation process that our team undergoes in each case of a highly resistant organism, working with the facility to determine a management plan. That management plan includes containment procedures that include isolating the patient, putting in place contact precautions, and colonization screening, as well as supporting the use of transfer forms to communicate the presence of a resistant organism when a patient is transferred from one facility to another. And then lastly, and perhaps most importantly, we support antimicrobial stewardship to prevent the development of resistance. And that's something that Dr. Ashraf is going to discuss significantly later. Although all multidrug resistant organisms are difficult to treat and need to be contained, there are some especially concerning patterns of resistance. Resistance to the carbapenem class of antibiotics can occur via the production of the carbapenemase enzyme, or a type of carbapenemase enzyme. And it's highly concerning because it can spread from patient to patient as well as species to species via plasmids. This increases the likelihood for the development of a pan-resistant strain, so a strain that's no longer susceptible to any antimicrobial agent. Another type is the Acinetobacter species, which can be resistant to colistin. And then Candida auris is a new yeast, which is resistant to many of the typical antifungals that are used. The mortality rate for any of these systemic infections is significantly higher than for antimicrobial susceptible organisms. And although the incidence of all of these in Nebraska is currently low, it is rising. So to summarize, the organisms on our most concerning list are carbapenem-resistant Enterobacteriaceae, especially carbapenemase producers, known as CPCRE, colistin and carbapenem-resistant Acinetobacter, and Candida auris. The risk factors for the acquisition of these types of resistant include prolonged or recurrent courses of antibiotic therapy, healthcare received outside of the United States, prolonged stays in healthcare facilities, especially when that's occurred in areas of the U.S. with higher prevalence, such as the New York or Chicago metropolitan areas. And then for Candida auris, which we have not yet seen in Nebraska, hospital care in Pakistan, Venezuela, United Arab Emirates, South Africa, India, and Kuwait. Since making CRE reportable on January 1, 2017, we've seen about 75 to 80 CREs, with 13 of them being the kind that carry the carbapenemases, or the CPCREs, and this has seemed to increase a bit slightly. When a CRE is found, it is sent from a local laboratory to either NPHL or a Legion core lab to confirm the presence of a carbapenemase. If the CP, carbapenemase, is found, then our team will work with the IP team at that facility to determine if colonization testing needs to be performed on patients or residents that are physically near that patient to make sure that they have not also become colonized with this organism. The process of how we do this is described in detail in the CRE investigation guidance and colonization protocols that are on our website, the Nebraska HAI website, in the Antimicrobial Resistance for Healthcare Professionals page. In this section, you can also find the suggested interfacility transfer form I spoke about, which is crucial in that it helps the information about the patient's resistant organism be communicated to any facility where this patient is transferred.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your antibiotic susceptibility data registry?
I would really like to tell you about that because we are really proud of this antimicrobial susceptibility registry. And it was begun with the foresight and forethought of our state epidemiologist, Dr. Tom Sofranik, about 8 to 10 years ago, when he required that when organisms, the culture results came in, that they were accompanied by antimicrobial susceptibility data. So we're one of the only states that actually has this that's reported in what we call real time. In 2017, when we added many resistant organisms, including CRE, it expanded our ability to pick up resistant organisms more quickly. It also allows us to pick up clusters of highly resistant organisms. And one thing that we're trying to do and we're working on right now is to be able to also look at geographic or regional patterns in the state on antimicrobial resistance. And then it will let us follow antimicrobial resistance over time. This allows us to determine where stewardship efforts, really the best way to prevent antimicrobial resistance in the first place, would be best directed.
Right. Well, in what kind of healthcare facilities should antibiotic stewardship programs be implemented?
Yeah, so I can take over the questions about antimicrobial stewardship here. Let's just start by defining what antibiotic stewardship is. Now, antibiotic stewardship is defined as a coordinated program that promotes appropriate use of antibiotics, improve patient outcomes, reduces microbial resistance, and decreases the spread of infection caused by multidrug resistant organisms. So based on this definition, I will argue that every provider who prescribes an antibiotic should be an antibiotic steward. Now similarly, all healthcare facilities where antibiotics are being prescribed should implement antibiotic stewardship programs as a means to ensure patient safety and better patient outcomes. Now, these programs are meant to implement system-wide interventions that help individual providers succeed in their role as antibiotic stewards. And system-level intervention is even more important because the adverse effects of inappropriate prescribing can get even more amplified if a stewardship program is not in place. So the short answer is that every facility should have an antibiotic stewardship program.
Thank you. Are there any regulatory requirements to implement an antibiotic stewardship?
Yes, there are. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, mandates all nursing homes to have an antibiotic stewardship program as a condition of participation. Joint Commission mandates acute care hospitals to have antibiotic stewardship programs. In addition, critical access hospitals will also need to have an antibiotic stewardship program in order to continue to receive the FLEX grant funding. And similarly, for outpatient clinic, it is important to note that implementing antibiotic stewardship will add points within the MIPS, the Merit-Based Incentive Payment System. And if the ambulatory care clinic is Joint Commission accredited, then antibiotic stewardship will also become a requirement for them too. So these regulations definitely provide reasons for various healthcare facilities to implement a stewardship program. However, I will say that even if there was no regulation, this is just the right thing to do to protect our patients and our community in general.
All right. Are there any guiding principles on how antibiotic stewardship programs should be structured in various healthcare settings?
I think it's a good question. Yes, there are some guidelines available. CDC has published core elements of antibiotic stewardship program. These core elements are specific for different setting, and these documents also provide some guidance on how to implement those core elements in that particular setting. So they describe seven core elements for acute care hospitals and nursing home, and four core elements for outpatient antibiotic stewardship programs. In essence, they are all very similar. But the way these core elements are implemented in different settings sometimes vary from one setting to another based on the availability of their resources. The seven core elements for the hospitals and nursing homes are described as leadership commitment, accountability, drug expertise, action, tracking, reporting, and education. And for outpatient facilities, the four core elements are described as number one, commitment, number two, action for policy and practice, number three, tracking and reporting, number four, education and expertise. So these documents can be found on the CDC website, and the links are also available at Nebraska DHHS HAI program website and Nebraska ASAP websites. One point I would like to add here is that Infectious Diseases Society of America and Society of Healthcare Epidemiology of America have also published guidelines for antibiotic stewardship implementation. This document provides guidance on different strategies to promote antibiotic use in healthcare facilities. And I think those links can also be found on the Nebraska ASAP website.
Okay. I noticed that for all healthcare settings, you have mentioned action as one of the core elements. Can you share with us what action you most commonly suggest to healthcare facilities?
Okay. To answer that question, I would like to make it very clear that every facility has to decide on an action item based on their own assessment of antibiotic use in their facility. That is why tracking antibiotic use data is a must for establishing an antibiotic stewardship program, no matter what the setting is. So you have to track the antibiotic first and see your use. Once we are able to identify the top areas of antibiotic misuse, then we can design and implement an action to tackle the identified problems. Now, having said that, let me tell you what we have usually seen and recommended. For post-acute and long-term care facilities, we usually see inappropriate treatment of asymptomatic bacteriuria as the number one problem. Now, asymptomatic bacteriuria usually does not require any antibiotic treatment, but many residents of long-term care facilities frequently receive antibiotic for this condition. The main reason behind that is usually poor communication between the nursing staff and the prescribing provider about the resident's signs and symptoms. I usually recommend facilities to use a standard assessment and communication tool. We call it UTI SBAR tool for better assessment, communication, and decision-making. This intervention is usually very helpful in decreasing inappropriate antibiotic use in the nursing homes setting. Moving on to the smaller and critical access hospitals, we find that unnecessary broad-spectrum intravenous antibiotic use or inappropriately prolonged duration of antibiotics are usually one of the problem areas. We frequently recommend these facilities to implement an antibiotic timeout process where all antibiotics get reviewed about 48 to 72 hours after they are started to determine if they are still needed. Usually, we also advise the hospitals to put specific focus on those antibiotics that they are seeing getting misused the most. Basically, for them, review their need right away when they are prescribed. And then last setting that I want to mention is the outpatient setting. One of the most common reason of antibiotic misuse is providing antibiotic prescription for upper respiratory tract infection in this setting. There are various reasons that the antibiotics get inappropriately prescribed in this setting. And the reason I said that the most important reason, the most common reason we see is antibiotic prescribing for upper respiratory tract infection is that for most upper respiratory tract infection, usually they are caused by viruses and we do not need antibiotics for those. There are various reasons that the antibiotics get inappropriately prescribed here in the outpatient setting. Sometimes providers feel pressured by the patient or family expectation, or in certain situations, the provider may not be completely aware of the recommendation, of the recent recommendations or recent guidelines, empowering the providers with the knowledge of current guidelines and providing them the training on best communication strategies can help reduce inappropriate antibiotic prescribing. Posting patient educational posters in the clinic that describe harm with inappropriate antibiotic use can also help. CDC has developed an antibiotic stewardship training program for all healthcare professionals, including the prescribers, which I highly recommend everyone to take, regardless of whether they are working in acute care, long-term care, or ambulatory care setting. They provide continuing education for this training program, and it is free.
All right. Well, my last question to you is, what are the resources that are available in our state that the facilities can utilize if they need help with developing antibiotic stewardship programs?
There are several resources in the state of Nebraska. I would like to describe that, but I think I want to add on one more important point before we move forward, is that, you know, we talked about the action core element. Let me make it clear that implementing action core element by itself will not be enough in developing a successful stewardship program. We need all seven core elements in place for a program to be effective. However, it is okay to implement these elements in a gradual, stepwise fashion. So you don't have to do all at once. You know, you can just build on your successes and can have the program have complete seven core elements ultimately. And Nebraska ASAP website has all the links to the tools and the resources that I just mentioned in the when I was answering the question on the action core element. So now I will move on to what you are asking about the resources. What kind of resources are available in the state of Nebraska? I will recommend everyone visit Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services HAI program website, and they will find the list of all the organizations working towards promoting antibiotic stewardship in the state. Your organization, Great Plains Quality Innovation Network, has been partnering with various facilities across the state and helping them start antibiotic stewardship program, especially in the outpatient settings. And another partner organization, MD Stewardship, is working mostly with the rural critical access hospitals. Nebraska ASAP, which is funded by the State Health Department HAI program, and I'm the co-medical director for that program, we are currently working with close to 25 acute care and long-term care facilities and are helping them to either develop a new program or help improving their existing programs. We call our model remote coaching model. We provide a lot of support, one of which is to join the facility's monthly or quarterly antibiotic stewardship meeting by a video conference. The facilities really like this approach as it virtually brings the antibiotic stewardship expertise to their doorsteps. Now, we are also launching a CME educational activity for outpatient clinics and urgent care centers that will be focused on promoting appropriate antibiotic use in the outpatient setting. And if any of the facilities want to join us on for that educational program, they can feel free to contact us even in advance, so we can guarantee a spot for them on that training. What I want everyone who is listening to this podcast know is that your facility is not alone when you are thinking of starting an antibiotic stewardship program. We are all here for you. Dr. Maureen Tierney, who leads the Nebraska DHS-HI team, you know, is with us today, is very committed to provide resources needed to promote stewardship in the state. You can see how engaged, you know, everyone can see right now that how engaged Great Plains, Quinn, are in bringing the resources closer to everyone. And you also know that Nebraska ASAP team is here for you when you need an antibiotic stewardship expert for guidance. So the final point I would like to make is that everyone should also be aware of Nebraska ICAP, Nebraska Infection Control Assessment and Promotion Program, which is also Nebraska DHHS HAI team funded program designed to help all healthcare facilities in Nebraska improve their infection prevention and control programs. Antibiotic stewardship and infection control goes hand in hand, and our our teams work closely together to bring the expertise to the state and to all facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both so much. And Dr. Tierney, do you have last words?
Well, just remember that this is Antibiotic Awareness Week. That's why we're doing the podcast and sharing this with you. CDC has a lot of information on their website about different events that are occurring this week. And on Wednesday, there'll be a day-long informational display at the Westroads Mall, and we would love for folks to come by. And as Dr. Ashraf mentioned, either through the DHHS website, the ASAP website, the Great Plains Quinn website, there's a lot of MD stewardship. There's a lot of useful information that can be helpful, and always feel free to call us.
Yeah. And also thought about Nebraska ASAP YouTube channel, that they have a lot of educational videos there too.
Yeah. Great. Thank you again very much.
Thank you.